So reading from the Bhagavatamrita, and for 2 weeks, one time I spoke on Radharani, and for 2 weeks we did, so I'm going to give a little summary and review here. Reading from the Bhagavatamrita, book 1, chapter 5, text, chapter 5, text 14. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Yasya Prasada Sanmona Santi Bhaktyadi Sadhanae Pratyo Nasa Swayam Vobhut Prasanno Vasavartyavi. We can only pray to satisfy him through our disciplines of silence, peace, and devotion. But naturally, being naturally satisfied with you, he has even submitted himself to your control. So this is Narada. And Narada is on his journey to find the topmost devotee. And he went to Hanuman, who is such a great servant, but in humility, Hanuman pointed to the Pandavas. And therefore, Narada enthusiastically, very enthusiastically, went to see the Pandavas. And this is the quality of a devotee. The devotee is enthusiastic. He's excited. What is enthusiasm? Utsaha. Utkanta. Ut means the neck. So, kanta means the neck. And ut means stretch. So the neck is stretched. Who's the most enthusiastic? A bird trying to get a worm. The neck is extended. There's enthusiasm. You want so much. So a devotee is like that. He's enthusiastic for Krishna. And therefore, Krishna Kirtana Gana Nartana Pano Premamritam Govindi. Krishna Kirtana Ut Kirtana. Ut means Krishna Kirtana. Ut means to stretch, to move forward, to grasp. That's the mood of the devotee. And that's one of the core qualities that it is a symptom of devotion and is devotion itself. That you're very eager for Krishna. Sometimes it is called lobha or greed. What does greed mean? Beg, borrow, or steal. So for Krishna, that type of greed, I want Krishna. I want Krishna. This morning we told this story. I'll tell it again here. I was at the 20th anniversary of Radha Banabihari, Jamuna's deity, and Henry honored me as a guest, and I got to speak with Shripad Bhaktatirtha Swami. And it's quite an illustrious audience. Charles White, professor emeritus of American University in religion, very cultured person, so many nice people. The next day, Jamuna was telling me this story about Saraswati, the daughter of Malati, when she got this silver deity, and Prabhupada said she couldn't travel with this silver deity in India. One life member gave her. They tried to replace it with a brass deity. She wasn't satisfied. She had a relationship. I want Krishna. I want Krishna. That's bhakti. I want Krishna. What do you want? You look in your heart and see what the voice in your heart is. What do you want? Is it, I want money? I want fame? I want position? That destroys bhakti. Boyajan said, Prabhu said, you know, when we came to Krishna consciousness, we were all pure. Then we got a taste for power. What is the voice in your heart? I want sex life, I want money, I want fame. The devotee is, I want Krishna. And when an advanced devotee, that voice is so consuming within the heart that you can't hear anything else in his consciousness. And he runs to Krishna. He's so eager for Krishna. Just like the sages of Naimisharanya, they were so eager to hear. We were discussing Srila Prabhupada when he got initiated. He was a grihastha. He wasn't very prominent in the Gaudiya Math. But Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they introduced him. This is a boy Charan, you know, and he helps our movement. He was like giving donation, whatever it is. Papa said, Bhakti Saraswati said, yes. He said, I've noted him. He was eager to hear. He likes to hear. So devotional service is enthusiasm, lobha, greed. I want to serve Krishna. So Narada has that enthusiasm. I don't know if that's... That'll go off in a second, right? Yeah, we'll just tolerate just till the end of class. Yeah. Okay, I mean, either go in and out or... Yeah. But the speaker, I shouldn't be able to hear it. That's the only thing. Okay. So he's running. That's a symptom of enthusiasm. He runs for Krishna. He's running for Krishna. Hey, Radhe, Vajradeva, Kechalali. Where is Krishna? And he finds Yudhisthira, who's the eldest brother of the Pandavas, so revered. And what is Yudhisthira doing? He's eager for Krishna. So what he's doing? He's scheming. How to get Krishna to come? Maybe we can fake the bombing of the World Trade Center. I don't know. I'm not a conspiracy theory person, but I like to tell jokes. Maybe you can make some calamity, fake some calamity. Maybe Krishna will come. And then we see Narada as Yudhisthira, because when a great saint comes, you have to stand up, actually. When a superior comes in Vedic culture, you have to stand up. Because it's described your life there will rise. And that if you don't rise, you lose part of your life there. You rise to meet. And then you worship. You offer respect. And there's ways to offer respect. Sometimes you can offer incense, a garland, different things. But Narada, when he sees Yudhisthira offering respect, he grabs the items. And he starts worshiping. And I described this before, that sometimes you see a spiritual competition. I saw this with two very, very old sadhus that were friends. I told this once before. They were like in their 70s. I was with one of the sadhus, and then one of his friends came. So the 70-year-old sadhu died at the other person's feet. And the person whose feet he died on, he died at his feet. And it was these two 70-year-old sadhus wrestling on the ground, not to be worshipped, but to worship. That's Vaishnavism. Vaishnavism means you're not fighting to be in the center. You're fighting to be dasa, dasa, dasa. You're fighting to be the servant of the servant of the servant. You're the servant. You move out. You can take prominence as a servant. Your mood is service. You may take a position for service, but your mood is not position. Mood is servant. Prabhupada described what is guru. Guru is one who is servant of his guru. It's not one who's just looking down at people from some height. He's looking up to his guru. And because he's looking up to his guru, he wants those who respect him to follow his vision. He's just leading the way. He doesn't think that he's the destination or she's the destination. Just like in the Back to Godhead. What was Prabhupada? He was back to, he's pointing to Krishna. That's how Prabhupada wanted to be seen. He's pointing to Krishna. So Narada glorifies the Pandavas naturally because they're such great servants. They'll serve Krishna in any way. Even they'll take a higher position. How's that service? A parent to take a higher position, but it's to serve it. So they serve Krishna in every single way, and then he glorifies them. And then Narada, to show the glories of this, this is the key point that's happening in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. So I want to say very clearly, I want the people to listen very clearly. The key point in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it wants to establish the position of Krishna, because it's looking for the topmost recipient of God's mercy. So the topmost recipient of God's mercy is the person who God reveals himself most to. For example, if you have a relationship with a person, right, you're saying, who is the topmost recipient of this great person's mercy? Is it the person who's just sitting at his feet and looking up? Or is it the person who's in a friendly embrace? Who really got the mercy? So there's an understanding in relationship that mercy is when the person has revealed himself fully, and that comes in infinite love. So what Narada is actually looking for is that person who has the most intimate love for Krishna. Because the person who has the most intimate love for Krishna understands Krishna and is experiencing Krishna to the fullest extent. And that's Krishna's mercy. So therefore, he wants to glorify the Pandavas, so he's going to glorify Krishna. Why? Because Krishna is the full manifestation of God's mercy. Because it's the Akhila Rasam Rita Murti. Krishna is the embodiment of full relationships. Krishna is God when God reveals his inner self as an intimate friend. Reveals himself as a dependent, sweet child. Reveals himself as an intimate lover. So if the topmost manifestation of a person is his intimacy and love, then the person who knows that person is the person who has that intimate relationship in conjugal love. So he's looking, who's the top person? Who's the top devotee of God? Well, it has to be a devotee of Krishna, because Krishna is the topmost realization of God. All manifestations of God are there absolutely potent. There's Narayan and the Creator. He's potent. Ram. It's all, they all have the same potency. But Krishna is when that potency is fully exhibited. Not just the control of the world, but in love. The full potency of a sweet lover. The inner heart of God revealed. That's Krishna. So they want to glorify now the Pandavas. Here in this purport, it says, Krishna is superior to Lord Nrisimha, Vamana, and Lord Raghavendra. Why is he superior if it's the same person? Not that he has more potency, but Krishna means the potency is manifest fully to the devotees in intimate love. And therefore, the Pandavas are superior to Sri Prahlad, Bali, and Hanuman. They're superior. Why? Because they're experiencing the full potency of God, which is called Krishna. And that's the essence of the Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We're so fortunate because we are devotees of Krishna. And we're aspiring to know God intimately, not just as the boss. Which is wonderful if you have a superior who's wonderful and sweet and loving. But not just that. But we're aspiring to understand God in a personal, loving relationship. And therefore, Narada is looking for the topmost devotee. It actually comes to the point it must be a devotee of Krishna. And therefore, he's glorifying Krishna. And how is he glorifying Krishna? That all other incarnations are leshita. They're not the full potency. And then he gives an example how the full mercy of God comes only in infinite, pure love. Again, we're describing in Gaudiya Vaishnavism, our tradition, we say, Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakti Shadma. Kevala Bhakti, it means only bhakti. It means attachment, pure attachment. And when God manifests just his opulence, there's some distance, there's some reverence, there's some fear, there's some duty, there's some obligation. Now, it's pure and it's pleasing, but not as pleasing as the intimate relationship. And I just remember a classic story to illustrate this, and I hope our dear friends, I'm at Henry's, Carl and Stella are online here, but because I'm at Henry's and he has a beautiful altar and the picture of Tamal Krishna Maharaj is very prominently displayed. Malone, you see the middle picture? That's Tamal Krishna Maharaj, a great Vaishnava, our close friend and mentor. So he was a very powerful person. Very powerful. Very loving, but very powerful. So people would respect him. You know, sometimes a little fearful. So he was giving darshan. And, you know, his disciples were sitting respectfully. Right? And his brother, Carl, and his sister-in-law, Stella, were there with their three children. And he was sitting, maybe even with a goddaughter, I don't know, but then their younger daughter, right? Because that's her uncle. It's a little different. She just came and got right there and sat right on the couch right next to him. Just attachment. No duty. Obligation, just attachment. So that's kind of an example. So, and with that pure type of love to Krishna, then Krishna is revealing more of his intimate side. So here it gives the example of Brahma. They approach the, in a mechanical way, they're praying because they're in distress in a mechanical way. And, with full concentration, but they didn't get the Lord's full mercy. They just heard his voice. They didn't get his personal. So it wants to show that the Pandavas, they were so intimate that God Krishna came to live with them. He came to live with them personally. And therefore, Narada is enthusiastic. What is the quality of love that God would come and live with you in an intimate way? So now he's with the Pandavas, who Krishna even became the chariot driver. So what kind of relationship is that? That such a big person as God becomes your driver. What kind of love does that person must have? And what side of God is are they seeing when God is Swayam Bhagavan, when God is himself? When you're yourself, the full sweetness comes out. So they're so, and now we've got to today's verse, where Narada now saying, you're greater devotees, because he submitted himself to your control. Your love is so great that he loves you so much. And when you love so much of someone so much, he'll do whatever they want. No matter how big you are, if you love someone so much, you will do whatever they want. And therefore, Krishna, the Pandavas love Krishna so much Krishna to do whatever they want. He was controlled. What do you want? You need something? God is like this to the Pandavas. You need someone to stand guard outside your door? But you're God. You're God. You need someone to drive your car? No, you're God. You're God. You're God. Now, Krishna, because of their love, he was controlled. When Yudhisthira would go on procession, because he was the emperor of the world, and behind him there was elephants and there was crowds of people, and they were throwing this rice for auspiciousness, and they go, swasti, 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 swasti. You people are unfortunate. I got an audience today, so it's the full visual. The hands are moving. Swasti, swasti. Yudhisthira looked back, and there was Krishna. Swasti, swasti. So we're going to go over this commentary today, and I think that'll be a nice contribution to get us back in the track here. So let's listen about this. Now, this is Narada. He's comparing himself. He says, my worship is silence, peace, and bhakti. But yours is not silence and peace. Right? Out of love, the gopis' relationship is not silence and peace. They can even rebuke Krishna out of love. There's nothing but love. And wherever that love takes them, it's not restricted, it's not controlled. Comparing the Pandavas with world-renowned sages like himself, Narada finds the Pandavas greater. Narada and other great sages worship the Supreme Lord with serious intent. They don't want to make any mistake. You know who they're dealing with. They are self-satisfied, free from material entanglement, and strict in their execution of the nine kinds of devotional practice. But by all their proper sadhana, self-consoled sages can only hope to obtain the Lord's mercy in the distant future. They're respectful, but what will draw Krishna near? Pure attachment. Not weakened by a sense of majesty. It's a very intimate understanding of God consciousness in Gaudiya Vaishnavism. Even when Krishna came, it's described in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Why did Krishna come? Why did Krishna come? He was thinking that people are worshiping me with love and devotion and respect as God. But that love is made a little weak. I want to come not as God. I want to come as myself, as I am at home. It's just a cowherd boy. So I can experience these four types of intimate love as an intimate servant, an intimate friend, an intimate child, the people in worship as a parent, as a lover. That, and even our own love, we have to be reverent. We worship in that way until we have that kind of relationship. We want our love to be as forceful as possible, and as pure as possible, and done out of attachment. The Prabhupada even said, you know, initially, you may wake up and go to the Mangal Arati out of duty. When you become advanced, then you're wanting to do it. So, Narada is in fact a first-class Vaishnav. He humbly includes himself among impersonal sages who have not yet received the Supreme Lord's mercy. The Pandavas, however, have gained Krishna's favor without having undergone spiritual discipline. In other words, their devotion is not because it's a rule. You're beyond the rules. It doesn't mean that they do things bad. It means that they don't do things just because they're rules. They do things because they're attached. And therefore, out of that attachment, it may not always follow the rules. There may be more. They may not chant all the mudras, those hand mudras when offering. They may just take the plate and say, here, Krishna, take it. Take your lunch, Krishna. I'll be back in a little while. But really, what happens is, when you have spontaneous devotion, a lot of times you follow the rules more strictly, but because they're guides to how Krishna is pleased. But you're not limited that way. An analogy, I remember, maybe Nanda Dulal is there, his wife, Siddhi. She gave a nice example of what spontaneous devotion is like. It's like when you're in an airplane, you don't have to stop at all those traffic lights. So you have that devotion. It's moving. It's flowing. It cannot be stopped. It's like a river that's flowing from the mountain and there's rocks. It just goes around it. There's no way to stop it. It's spontaneous. It's flowing. The Pandavas, however, have gained Krishna's favor without having undergone spiritual disciplines. So strong and spontaneous is their love for Krishna that he falls under its sway, obeying his devotee's command like a menial servant. Does that make Krishna strong or weak? It makes him strong. That's exalted when a person is controlled by love. Because if you're not controlled by love, you're not a very good lover, because you can't reciprocate. And it shouldn't just be, I want to reciprocate. I must give the gift in return, because they'll be angry with me. It's, I want to. What can I do for you? And you have that confidence, because you don't put yourself under the care of another. Why are we so hesitant to be controlled? Because we'll be exploited. Why? Because there's no love. But when there's actual love, we'll put ourselves in that person's care or hands out of love. One, because we want to please them. And two, because there's no fear. Because it's love. So, as described in the seventh canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, this is a significant part. During one visit to Hastinapur, Narada discussed this at length with Yudhisthira while telling the history of Prahlad. This is famous in the seventh canto. Yudhisthira is telling the history of Prahlad. And when he hears about Prahlad's devotion, they feel, I am not a devotee. How great is Prahlad? Prahlad's devotion is so fixed that it can't be broken. You can stop an activity if you give something that's better than that activity. If you want someone to stop, let's say, there's two things. The nature of bhakti has two qualities. It's without cause. What a cause means, you're not doing it for anything outside of love. Then it's not love. So pure bhakti is causeless. There's no motive. And it's unbroken. It never stops. So an activity becomes unbroken when there is nothing better than that activity, and when there is nothing more painful than giving up the activity. But his father said to Prahlad, if you don't give up bhakti, I will throw you in a pit of poisonous snakes. Now, Prahlad thought, giving up bhakti is more painful than a pit of poisonous snakes. How many of us could say that? So he was hearing about Prahlad's bhakti. His demoniac father couldn't, I will waterboard you, Prahlad, unless you give up bhakti. giving up bhakti is much more painful than waterboarding. So now we're going to hear prayers where Narada is telling Yudhisthira, don't think that Prahlada is greater than you. So he says, my dear Yudhisthira, all of you Pandavas are extremely fortunate. For the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, lives in your palace like a human being. Great saintly persons know this very well, and therefore they constantly visit this house. The impersonal Brahman is Krishna himself, because Krishna is the source of the impersonal Brahman. He is the origin of the transcendental bliss sought by great saintly persons. Yet he, the Supreme Person, is your dearmost friend and constant well-wisher, and is ultimately related to you as the son of your maternal uncle. They're the children of Kunti, and Kunti's brother is Vasudev, Krishna's father. He is always like your body and soul. He is worshipable, yet he acts as your servant and sometimes your spiritual master. I mean, I noticed, I never heard it written, but it's so obvious to me, and it's like when you read Shastra sometimes, kind of new. The first time we see Krishna in both the Bhagavad Gita and the Srimad Bhagavatam is as the driver of Arjuna in this humble subordinate role. How much does Krishna love the Pandavas for him to take that position? And how much do the Pandavas love him? What is the force of the Pandavas' love? That Krishna wants to serve them in any way. And he serves them. Sometimes he'll be their spiritual master, like Arjuna. He became his spiritual master, but before that he was his driver. He just wanted to please his devotee. Exalted persons like Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma cannot properly describe the truth of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. He is always worshipped as the protector of all devotees by great saints who observe vows of silence, meditation, devotional service, and renunciation. May the Supreme Lord be pleased with us. Now, this is Bhagavatam 7, 10, 48 to 50. While finishing the account of Prahlad's deliverance by Lord Nrisimhadev, Narada had observed that the Pandavas seemed a little discouraged, as if they had no hope of receiving from the Lord the same mercy as Prahlad. To pacify this anxiety, Narada spoke these verses. The life of the Pandavas could not factually be as hopeless as they considered it. After all, venerated sages from all over the universe came to their home just to visit Krishna. So all over, people were... Let's say someone like Prabhupada, right? Everyone wanted to see Prabhupada, but what if he's in the house of someone all the time? Right? So all the venerated sages want to see Krishna. He's in the house of the Pandavas. That doesn't happen if there's not love. Krishna is living always with the Pandavas, shows the Pandavas great fortune, and Krishna's extreme favor upon them. Narada's father, Brahma, and other great mystics like the four Kumaras can only strive to realize Krishna with a dim hope of future success. Now, it's going to explain the bliss of this love. Because pleasure is love. Giving a class on yoga psychology. And what is the cause, really, of addiction? There's some great unhappiness that one has. And therefore, you feel when there's unhappiness that there's some lack. And therefore, if you don't know what the lack is, you'll experiment. Maybe I'm not getting enough sensual pleasure, so you take something, you know, to satisfy that. You're eating, sex life, drugs. But it's not really satisfying the mind or soul. It's not satisfying the mind, because indulgence is not in the mode of goodness, and therefore it will move the mind to a lower mode of anxiety and depression, even if you're temporarily stimulated. And if you do it again and again and again, you fall more into anxiety and ignorance. It's not going to satisfy, and also, it's not activity of the soul, who you really are. So you're not actually nourishing the real person either. It's just the body and the mind. So ultimately, it's superficial. Ultimately, it's not satisfying. So really, what you're lacking is love. And ultimately, that love will be satisfied in relationship with God. It's not that we don't love others, but to really repose that loving propensity fully, it has to be in relationship with the Absolute. Where you can replace it to, you know, you want it satisfied to the highest extent. That's God. That's Krishna. And that's why the most successful programs of curing addiction, what addiction means is that your taste or impulses for a particular unhealthy stimulation is so consuming that even though your intelligence is telling you it's not good, even though your intelligence is telling you it's leading me to distress and anxiety, you can't stop. Therefore, the most successful programs of overcoming addiction is where one humbly submits oneself to God. And by that humility is able to experience God's love. And when that love fills the heart, then one can overcome the power of addiction, where so many impressions of memories of this kind of pleasure is embedded in the consciousness and forcing one. So here it's going to explain now the unconditional bliss that they must be experiencing. The unconditional bliss of oneness hinted at in the Vedas is actually embodied in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He associates with the Pandavas in the most intimate ways. He is their most dear friend, always showing them affection. He is their constant well-wisher, acting for their benefit without any calculation or profit. And he is their worshipable Lord and the executor of their orders. He is not a distant goal of perfection, but is directly present in the Pandavas assembly. By using the proximate pronoun, I am, this person close by, Narada implies that Krishna is ready to reciprocate with the Pandavas at their pleasure. Think of what a loving relationship means. It means that a person, if you have a loving relationship, if someone loves you, they will want to serve you. And that type of relationship is what satisfies the heart. If they're lacking in our life, we won't be happy with anything external. A man can be happy with love and relationship. He can't be happy just with money, unless the money somehow facilitates relationship. And a lot of times it hinders relationship. So what will actually make us happy? We have access to. But somehow or other we're thinking it's something else than this. Even in a material sphere, we can become happy just with simple relationships on a certain platform. But ultimately, they have to be spiritual, but we can be satisfied. That's why in simple villages where there's community, a person may have a blissful smile. I don't know if I talked about on the last class, but there's this thing that Raghunath, my disciple, and me have, is that we're always meeting in the strangest places a simple Bengali from Navadvip, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's birthplace. you know, it's so funny. He was telling me this story that when he comes from upstate, he goes to this gas station. And this gas man, I'm from Navadvip. You know, and he's like blissful and peaceful and, you know. Of course, why did he leave Navadvip? But anyway, but relatively. And then I remember one time I got lost at night before I had a GPS. I wound up someplace in Brooklyn, I don't know where, in some bad neighborhood. Like, I am from Navadvip. Hare Krishna. It's like so blissful. So I was with Raghunath, I think it was on John Mastami, yeah, on the, something. And we're walking down the street, and a taxi cab stops, and he says, Hare Krishna. I said, Hare Krishna. He said, I am from Navadvip. Blissful smile. Love. Community. It's so, you know, people today don't know who their neighbors are. And when I grew up, everyone, I knew the name of every, I grew up in Brooklyn. There were 12 or 14 houses on either side of the street. I knew every house and every person that lived in every house. There was some kind of community. That's why when I went out to Long Island and, you know, estates and bigger houses, I liked the inner city. There's so many people. You knew people. So let's read about the unconditional bliss of oneness hinted at the Vedas is actually embodied. Narada thus indicates that by Krishna's presence in their royal court, the supreme good fortune of the Pandavas overflows and floods the world. A skeptic may ask, if Krishna is in fact the absolute, then why does he become attached to 16,000 wives? And why does he obey ordinary religious principles? The Prabhupada, but not the purport, Sanatana answers it in a different way. In the third of these seventh cant verses, Narada says, do not expect to understand anything about Krishna. Even Lord Shiva, Brahma, and other great mystics cannot describe him completely. They cannot even fully describe the beauty of any one of his limbs. They cannot put these transcendental facts into words, nor even conceive them in their minds. And if such exalted authorities are frustrated in trying to explain Krishna, Narada implies, what can someone like me do? The Pandavas have a special relationship with Sri Krishna, by which they know him much more intimately than do any of the demigods. Krishna is obviously satisfied with the Pandavas, whereas the demigods, by various spiritual practice, must still endeavor to obtain his satisfaction. So we follow the rules. We put ourselves under the guidance of rules to develop love. That's the goal. The steps are to get to the top, not to stay on the steps. Our practices are to get on the top, not to stay in the practices. Our faith is not in the rule. The faith is not that the potency is in completion of our rounds. The potency is in the doing of our rounds. The potency is in the meditation. We had such a nice, we've been doing it every morning with Malone and Kevin Jones and Henry. We meet in the morning and we have such a nice meditation. Giriraj is here, my deity, the room where so many great devotees stayed. And a very beautiful sattvic atmosphere. The Vaishnava embassy is painted saffron. It's kept spotlessly clean. And so many beautiful paintings of Krishna. So our meditation was so nicely focused. We weren't thinking when we're going to finish. We'd be sorry if it ended. And they're all shaking their head, yes. We'd be sorry if it ended. That's bhakti. Bhakti is pleasure. Pleasure you don't do for it to end. But you do jnana austerity so it'll end and you get liberated. You do karma so you'll get the fruits of your activity. But bhakti you don't do for an end. Susukam kartam abhya. Bhakti is susukam kartam. It's pleasurable. Love is pleasurable. You don't want it to end. And those people who advanced in Krishna consciousness, they're not finishing their rounds. Never. They're always doing it. The absolute truth does not live in the house of Prahlad, and therefore sages do not regularly visit Prahlad's house to see the Lord. The personality of God does not assume the role of Prahlad's maternal uncle, nor constantly show Prahlad's satisfaction in so many ways. Therefore, Narada argues the Pandavas should admit that they are more fortunate than everyone else, the sages, demigods, and other devotees. So I'm ending a little bit early because there's things that have to be done. But anyone have a question?
Radharani ki jai.
Who's that great who's that great devotee in ecstasy? Is that Gail Munjari? What? Gail, you don't follow any of the rules. You're a spontaneous devotee, right? Did I promise something that now you're going to pull on me at the end?
I am, Maharaj.
What is it, Gail?
My demand is two questions.
She has demanding two questions. Yes, go ahead, Gail.
One is, you know how you always say that the love of the Vaikuntha resident is pure, you know,
but yeah.
Is weakened by the fact that it's partially done out of fear.
Yeah.
And the fear part makes it sound a little
horrible.
Selfish.
Yeah. Okay, she's saying that I always say Vaikuntha when they worship God and Narayan. Hello. What time? We have to end at 10 today again. Yeah. The fear part makes it sound like it's just a part of it's actually a part of love. In servitorship, there's one type of love called surrender. It's a part of that type of relationship when you're with a superior. You have so much respect for them that you fear not serving in the proper way or something, or you fear upsetting them. It's more like an aspect of that relationship.
A symptom of respect.
It is. I remember in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, when they describe servitorship, there's different types of moods of servant, and it's actually an aspect of that type of love. Right? If you're a servant and you have no fear, you're not a good servant. it's against love. What's your second question, Gail?
Yeah, just the fact that you...
This is like beyond attachment, it's beyond duty, it's demand. Go ahead. It's like the higher thing. What's your next demand, Gail?
It's just interesting to me that you refer to intimacy as a type of, like a potency, you know?
Intimacy as a potency?
Yeah, you know, because the fact that, you know, all the other manifestations of Krishna, Narayan, and so on, they're fully potent.
Potency means they are fully potent. But I think what it means here, because that's what it actually said, I was just repeating it. What does it mean Krishna is the full potency? Well, the full potency of a person is what? What the their conjugal spirit self, their parental self, their son or daughter self, their friend. Those are not manifest in the other relation. That's part of their potency, part of their being. So that's what it means, that the full self is not revealed only in Krishna, because what's the full? So the full, it's the same person. It's like the high court judge is the father. He is the lover, but that's not going to be manifest there. Okay, Gail, that's an answer to your demands. Not out of love, but out of fear, I answered you. Out of obligation, out of duty.
You're fully paid up.
What's that?
So you are fully paid up.
I've paid my dues.
Mm-hmm.
I think everybody should applaud. This is the first time in 10 years that I satisfied you with your questions quickly. Okay. Okay. Would anybody else like to say hello and before we can communicate to the nice audience?
Right.
That's yeah, Mooney.
I'll hold my questions off till later, but I just wanted to say that I realized during your class that I'm an advanced devotee.
Yeah. Mahamuni in his class realized that he's an advanced devotee. Okay, I'll play the space.
Because
how are you an advanced devotee?
Because you said an advanced devotee never finishes his rounds.
Mahamuni said, because an advanced devotee never finishes his rounds.
That was good.
Can I tell you, Gail? I should be paid for this job here. I'm gonna start charging the sanghas the amount of abuse I have to settle. There's a conspiracy going on by the people who used to be in the Jersey Temple. It's a conspiracy. I'm convinced of it. You planned this. You have another phone line going back and forth. How you can stump the guru? Okay. It's really funny how a Jnani can screw meaning out of things to support their own view. Advanced devotee. Are they going to put that in my little saying book next year? That Nitya Sevanet, an advanced devotee, never finishes his rounds.
No, Marge, in 100 years, somebody's going to quote your authority on this issue.
Mahamuni says, in 100 years, someone's going to quote my authority. Dhanadari said, you don't have to finish your rounds. That's not bhakti. Okay.
Thank
this is okay. Thank you, Mahamuni. I'll be calling you later. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna or insult Maharaj? No. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Amir. Thank you. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna.
Who?
Oh, this is Nanda Dulal, you know. I want to tell Narayani Mataji, she's giving actually seminar. Yesterday she did, today also. And she sends her regards to you.
Oh, send my deep respects to Narayani Mataji. Is that in Potomac, the seminar?
Yes. Today is...
Oh, very nice.
It's 10:45. I'm leaving, you know. She's talking how to enter into Vrindavan.
Oh, wow. Very nice. Hare Krishna, thank you. Now, anybody else?
Hare Krishna, Maharaj. This is Rasikya.
Rasikya, Hare Krishna. Nice to hear. Thank you.
That was a wonderful class again. I have one quick question that doesn't have to do with this.
Yeah, question.
I have not gotten your book of the Japa Meditations.
Okay. Kevin, write that.
Where I can get that.
No, I'm sending it. It's going to be sent.
Okay.
Kevin? What Rasagya, write your address right now.
Okay. Say it?
Yeah, you'll say, if you don't mind other people knowing where you live. But okay, what is it? 13013.
Silver Creek.
Silver Creek.
Two words.
Two words.
Drive.
Drive.
Austin, Texas.
Austin, Texas.
78727.
78727. Mm-hmm. Okay, it's going to be sent within a day. Go get the book from my car quickly, okay? I have a very nice assistant now, so I'm sufficient now. Okay.
I had forgotten about it, but I was at Nitya Seva's and Eka Chakra's the other day, and she was telling me about how she uses it every morning, and then I realized, I never got that.
Which book?
Japa meditation. You have right here? Okay, get me a pen too. Okay. Kevin Jones, my assistant for today, now leaving. He's going to mail it tomorrow morning. Okay? Okay. Thank you, Rasika. Okay. Anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna, Mars, Lalita Madhava. Thanks for class.
Hey, Lalita, you're so close by. You're so well. Thank you. Okay. It's such a nice audience today and such a nice place that it's very inspirational for me to speak because I got smiling faces and reactions. It's just, anybody else like to say Hare Krishna?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, it's Stella speaking.
Stella, Hare Krishna. Boy, what a smile on Henry's face when I said that.
Oh, I'm smiling up a storm. I feel so blessed to be in all of your associations. Thank you.
Well, we feel blessed that you're on our Sangha. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. That's the sister-in-law of Tamal Krishna. Anybody else? Okay. We will end for today. Thank you all for coming. Panchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevicha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namah.